You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
For a touchdown!
Each your inside pass to everything Saints football.
Jimmy Graham brings it down, and that is a touchdown, New Orleans!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room, following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
And that is going to be a touchdown again. And guess who? Mike Thomas.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Welcome Inside Black and Gold. It's the start of a new year. Well, almost the start of a new league year. We are in the legal tampering period of free agency right now in the NFL. We got some news about some restructured contracts with the Saints. Still dealing with the angry Michael Thomas in the social media sphere. And we'll get into our conversation with Scott Shanley in this episode as well. He dropped by and we got to talk with him about all things black and gold, of course. Jeff, how are you doing, man, knowing that the free agency period is upon us?
I'm doing good. We just had a long conversation about Dune, so I got my sci-fi nerd out. So, yeah, and I do apologize last week. So a lot of people, if you've listened to this podcast, you know, I had jury duty. I actually ended up on a jury, and, like, I kept saying, like, oh, we'll record tomorrow night. Let's record tomorrow night. And then I would get home after a day of being on a jury and be, like, mentally, like, I can't do it. I can't do it. We're just going to have to push to next week. And so that's what it ended up being. And I was an alternate, too. Like, I was an alternate. So I had to sit through all of that. And then I couldn't even have my say in what happened. Anyway, so that's annoying.
And the worst part is, like, you texted me at one point. You're like, I got my phone back, because obviously you can't be just sitting around on your cell phone.
No, well, they take it away. They take it away and they, like, hide it in the judge's office and they give it back to you for a lunch for like 20 minutes. And then anyway, so I was a little slow on the uptake for a lot of these things. One thing that happened while I was in jury duty is Mike Thomas went off the handle at Jeff Duncan. So we'll talk about that. I want to push a lot of the free agency talk in this episode to the end. So we're going to spend the third segment talking about the latest that has happened, any updates on some of these visits or whatever. And I figure if the longer we hold it out, maybe there's some additional stuff that comes out that we can get in here. We're recording at about noon on Monday, which is not ideal, but I do want to get one episode out early in the week so that we can come and follow up on some stuff. So we'll talk a good bit about free agency in the back end. We have that interview with Scott Shanley, which, you know, we talked a lot about guys like Damarra Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, Jordan Howden. So I thought his insight was pretty good into a lot of that stuff. So we'll have that. In this first segment, I want to get into some extensions, some that we probably should have seen coming, some that I predicted last week that were going to happen, and so I'm glad that it did, because it got kind of weird in the interim with some weird, you know, erroneous reporting or whatever. We'll get into that. But first, yeah, one thing that happened while I was on the jury is Michael Thomas went apeshit.
Nuclear, yes.
On Jeff Duncan after Jeff posted an article saying that the Saints were going to move on from Mike Thomas. And there was a lot to it. You know, there was a lot that happened. And, you know, I did find it interesting, like, whenever Mike goes off the handle, I try to figure out, well, why is he so mad? Like, what actually set him off? Because there's usually kind of a kernel of this is what started all of this. And once you get Mike going, it's got a lot to say. And in this case, I think the issue wasn't so much what was being reported. I think that's just kind of an ongoing thing. Like, Mike does not like Jeff. I think the issue with Mike was that he was annoyed that it was framed that the Saints were moving on from Mike Thomas. And this was a decision in free agency that they were like, nah, we're done.
Right.
And I think in Mike's mind, it's like, I mean, this is just as much my decision as it is theirs. Like, it's not like he's out there with a boombox over his head saying, please take me back. Like, he also would be like, nah, I'm good. Move on. Because it's like, he's the one, or he and his agent were the ones who helped construct this contract with a poison pill in it. So the Saints had to make a decision prior to free agency. So like $100 million in bonuses don't vest 2 days after the league year. And that's just was never going to be something that happened. So like, I think that's honestly like the biggest part of it is he's like, I am just as much done with the Saints as they are done with me. So don't make this out as like them saying like, now we've had enough. Because I think Mike has also had enough. And I think that's kind of where you're at. And that kind of ties into the free agency stuff because we've gotten a conclusion, or at least as close to a conclusion as you can. Mike Thomas will not be on this roster next season. And it was always kind of what you expected. But now we can kind of go forward with that in mind and kind of make the numbers work with that in mind. But yeah, and he's tweeting about like a lot of the stuff he's done in the city. And I agree with, you know, like he has been a great ambassador for the team in the city. It's just the last few years that have gotten a little wonky and a little uncomfortable. And I, for one, you know, I'm going to miss Mike. I'm going to miss the player on the field, but I'm not going to miss a lot of this noise that's been created when he hasn't been on the field. Cause that's what's been the most frustrating part is when he's unable to play. Yeah. We're still talking about him. And that's what happened in the second half of this season. That's what happened in several other seasons.
I've just been amazed for a guy that doesn't like speaking in general. He sure likes going off on social media. You mentioned the bashing of Jeff Duncan. That continued to go on with other things, but, you know, bashing the team even. And then, like you said, it kind of wrapped up with this whole nostalgic, well, I did this for charity work with my time with the team and how good things were in the Superdome when things were rolling. And yeah, obviously 2019, things were at their peak. He was putting out pictures of them dancing on the sideline. We all remember obviously the Choppa style, Alvin Kamara dancing, Michael Thomas, Mark Ingram, but man, that was a long time ago, Mike. And we're dealing with the now when you haven't been available.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That was a whole lot more fun. That time period was a whole lot more fun than the last few years have been. Not wrong in any way. That was fun. This last couple of years has not been fun. So, again, I don't disagree with it. But at the same time, you look at it and you say, like, yeah, Mike, yeah, like I get it. You're mad. But you're going to go into the free agent market and you're going to start to talk to teams, right? And if you think that whether it's, I don't know, the Chiefs, the Ravens, whoever, that they're going to be like, yeah, cool. Definitely go off the deep end. Every time something doesn't go right, go off on a Twitter, you know, firestorm about your quarterback. No team is going to accept that behavior. So
I can't wait to get a guy that tweets out these cryptic messages that we have to decipher.
It's like, I just think he needs to have a bit of a reality check in terms of what's reasonable and what's not, you know? And so, well, I don't know, maybe he's going to get to another team and it's going to be perfect and he's going to get exactly what he wants. He's going to go win a Super Bowl. I'm rooting for him. But I also kind of feel like this could go the way Antonio Brown to the Raiders went.
Oof.
Maybe he doesn't melt his feet off or whatever Antonio Brown did, because Antonio Brown is a special kind of lunatic. But, you know, like you gotta like, it's not as simple as just showing up and saying, I'm Mike Thomas, everyone get out of the way. You know? So again, I'm rooting for him. I hope he lands somewhere. I hope he can go get himself a ring. But I'm not gonna say that I'm gonna miss the drama, because I won't.
No, definitely rooting for him, obviously, unless he ends up on someone like Atlanta. And I could see that happening, yeah, obviously.
We'll see. But yeah, we're going to do a lot. You know, two other things that happened this week, two other big things, or at least, you know, one that happened last week, one that happened this week. Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis have both signed two-year extensions. Both are entering the final year of their contract. Both took a little bit less money to free up some money against the 2024 cap, guarantee another year. DeMario would be his age 36 season, because he's 35 right now. Tyrann, I think he would be his age 33 season that he is under contract through. And, you know, we'll have a lot to say about this, but we did talk about this on Friday on Sports Talk, because Tyrann Mathieu, that deal kind of came through on Friday. The media talked to him, and I asked him a question about durability. And I think when you look at these two guys, one of the reasons that you feel okay about these contracts is they don't miss games. Period. Tyrann has not missed a game since he's been here. DeMario's only missed one game in his 6-year Saints career, and it was due to COVID. So, and at the time, like, I'm gonna preface this by saying this was all Friday, so it's gonna be in the future tense. But rather than saying it all again, I do want to play it, for one thing, to toot my own horn, because I was spot on with what was all going on, and for two, because this all came out prior to this kind of erroneous Jason Lockenfora article stating that the Saints were trying to trade DeMario Davis. And
bullshit.
Maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe they had said, like, someone had said, what about DeMario? And they were like, well, what would you give us? Right. You know, that may have happened. I don't know. I can't say it hasn't. But the idea that they're attaching his name and trying to trade him never made sense. This all was before that. This was Friday. That all came out Saturday, Sunday. So let's just listen to that real quick. And then it starts off with a question to Tyrann Mathieu that kind of builds into the rest.
You know, Tyrann, each the last 2 years, 17 games, 17 starts. How much pride do you take in just the durability, the availability that you've had? And as you've gotten later in your career, is that something that you've had to maybe spend more time on as your process changed over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I struggled with a lot of injuries, you know, early on in my career that, you know, I kind of felt, you know, robbed me, you know, a plan, you know, per se. You know, I think I missed close to 17 games, you know, I think my first 5 years in the league, right? So, and I think that kind of played a part in, you know, me getting released from Arizona, right? And I think as a youngster, you don't really realize your availability, right? Like, it's all about your ability, right? And I think as you get older, you become more conscious of your availability, right? Because your ability is not what it used to be, right? So, you know, just being able to show up every day, right? Every game, you know, every practice, I think that's what it's all about. Like, that's what we get paid to do, right? And so I enjoy doing it. For me, it's not work, you know? And then too, for my teammates and coaches, man, like, I always want to be one of those guys that they know is going to be there, that they know that they can count on. So I take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah. And so to me, that's important, right? When you're talking about, okay, you got a 32 year old guy. He'll be 32 at the start of next season. So you're extending Tyrann Mathieu through his age 33 season, which is not for nothing. You know, it is weird. I'm officially at the point where the old guys in the NFL are younger than me, and I'm not sure exactly how to handle it, but I'm trying. Right. I'm trying. And, you know, Tyrann's interesting because you look at the last two seasons, has not missed a game.
Right.
In 2022, a year that I'm sorry. Yeah. 2022, a year that there was a lot of criticism levied his way. He had a career high in tackles. He had 91 tackles. He had 3 interceptions. This year, he had 75 tackles, 4 interceptions. He makes plays. So you feel good about it, even though, you know, I hear people, oh, he's 30. You don't want to invest too much in that. But at the same time, I don't really care what his age is. I say, is he productive? And the answer is yes. And why do I bring that up? Well, the Saints, they still have about $10 million to clear against the cap. One of the contracts they have not touched yet is DeMario Davis, a guy who's older. He's 35 now. I think you're going to look at his contract and you're going to say, should we do the same thing? Should we extend him? He's in the final year of his deal. And maybe we extend him and try to give him a 2-year contract and see if you can structure it somewhat like you did the Tyrann Mathieu deal, and maybe even save a little bit more than the $8 million that's the simple restructure could be. And so you ask, okay, but should we?
Because you're talking about extending a guy through what would be his age 36 season.
Right.
If you give him the 2-year deal. Well, why would you do that? Well, just look at what DeMario Davis has done over the last 2 years. You talk about durability with Tyrann Mathieu. You talk about the work he puts in and the amount that he thinks about it, that he plans for it, that he spends time on it so that when game day shows up, he's ready. DeMario Davis, 17 games, 17 starts this past season. The year before that, 17 games, 17 starts. He has missed one game in his entire 6-year Saints career, and that was due to COVID. This past season, he had an injury that he would tell you the doctors gave him a 0% chance to play. I don't know if that's, you know, I'm not going to, you know, verify that, because it seems like if you got a 0% chance, they wouldn't even let you try. But hey, you know, that's what he says. So, and it was a significant injury. He did play through it. That was in the Jags game. He had a knee brace on.
Right.
He was limited, but he did play. So he started all 17 games. The last 2 years, he has had his two highest totals of solo tackles. In 2022, it was 56. This past year, it was 47. Those are the two highest totals of his career in his age 33 and age 34 seasons. The last two seasons, he has set career highs in sacks. He's had 6.5 sacks each of the last two seasons. Those are both career highs. So all the evidence to me, points to the fact that this man is either a superhuman or a cyborg. So I don't care how old he is. I look and say, is he still productive? And the answer is yes. So I don't necessarily look at that and say, well, we're worried that he's going to start breaking down. And I say, yeah, pay the man as long as he wants to play, because he's only getting better. It seems that way. So I think that's what you're going to see. You saw that they dealt with Tyrann Mathieu's contract earlier this week. They have until Wednesday to get cap compliant. There's a few levers they could pull to get there. I expect DeMario Davis is going to be the next one that you hear.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Yeah. And so I just, for one thing, I just didn't feel like saying all that again, because I felt like I said it well once. Why do it again? For the other, like, this was last Friday. So if anyone's wondering, yeah, I was right. Anyway, and you get into it, and that's where you are, right? And I think that it always made sense for those two guys to either restructure or extend them an extra year. And once you did it with Tyrann, a guy who is very similar, right? Like, he's an emotional leader. He's a veteran that people look up to. Just made a lot of sense to extend him. And then you look at DeMario, when you could have saved $8 million with a simple restructure. With the new deal, you're saving a little over $9 million. You had a little over $10 million that you had to clear relative to the cap. So that puts you one move shy. The Saints have to be cap compliant by Wednesday at some time. I don't know the exact time, but I'm sure that will be the case well before Wednesday, because they have about a dozen routes they could take to clear that remaining $1 million. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a guy like Juwan Johnson. But, like, again, there's, with $1 million to clear, you could say, like, okay, they could restructure JT Gray and clear $1 million. They could restructure Colin Saunders and clear $1 million. They could restructure Foster Moreau and clear $1 million. So, like, we can talk about how they got there, and they will have got there without touching the deals for Ryan Ramczyk, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, which were three deals that were probably the last three on my list that I wanted to deal with if I didn't have to. For various reasons. Ryan because of the knee, Taysom because he's, you know, he's mid-30s and he plays a very high violence position, right? He takes a lot of hits. And then Alvin because he's a 29-year-old running back, and we've seen running backs typically, you know, there's a cliff waiting at some point in that 29, 30, 31 area. And if I can get into next season with a little more flexibility, I'd love to do that in terms of his contract. So, you know, this always made sense. I'm glad to see it. You were never going to move on from DeMario or Tyrann this year. And I think what makes you feel comfortable is the durability of those guys. And that's why I wanted to talk to Tyrann about it. And I thought his answer was actually pretty well said in terms of, I think he said, like, when you're young, you think about your ability because your availability isn't a question. But then as you get older, your availability becomes way more important as your ability starts to wane a little bit as you get older. And I think both of those guys are a perfect example of they put so much pride into taking care of their bodies that it's the reason that you're okay with giving them an extension at this age.
Yeah, and I put them, obviously, DeMario, Tyron, and you throw Cam Jordan in that mix too, and boom, you got that kind of situation on all three levels of that defense.
Yeah, the only difference with Cam is, while the availability has still been there, the difference is Tyron and DeMario are putting, like, both guys have set career highs in the last two seasons. Tyron had a career high in tackles in 2022.
True.
DeMario has had career high sack totals in each of the last two seasons. He had he had his most solo tackles in a year in 2022 with 56, and then the second most in 2023 with like 47. So, like, Cam, meanwhile, has set a low watermark for sacks outside of his rookie year, which you can look at injuries, you can look at whatever. But I understand why people were a little bit more concerned about that one, because you're still hopeful that he can get back to being, you know, the like 8-sack guy. Like, I don't need a 15-sack guy, which would have been his high total. I think he had 15.5 in 2019. Like, but I do need to see 8 to 10, right? I need to see that guy, because you are relying on him. And so that is interesting. But I do think that you're right in the sense that this team values veteran leadership on its roster for good reason. You know, it's important. And they have one of those, the clear veteran leaders at defensive line, at safety and the secondary, and at linebacker and DeMario Davis. So I think that plays a big role in when you're making these decisions. Plus, it fits into your cap management anyway. So it's a double.
Yeah, like you said, we can make excuses for Cam, but we know DeMario was dealing with stuff, and man, he was still able to just put it out.
Yeah, that injury that he had no chance to play. It's his miracle.
Crazy.
Recovery. Yeah. But I don't know if you saw the Burke Kirchhoffer thing with DeMario, where she like documented his whole process. It was just like crazy. Like all the cupping, and there's different types of cupping, and, you know, whatever. He's got like a whole team of people that help him recover. And I don't think a lot of people necessarily appreciate how much work these guys do just to recover, just to make sure their bodies are ready to go. Because it's like, yeah, you play well on the field, but then you have like 3 days to get back before you have to practice again. And it's a process. Like, these guys invest in it, especially the older you get, when you get into your 30s, because you're not playing if you don't spend that extra time getting better, getting your body back, as they'll probably call it. Yeah.
No, I agree with you totally when you said, like, DeMario is basically a cyborg. I don't know how he's able to do it, you know, week in and week out. Obviously, you mentioned that 0% chance of being able to play, somehow is able to pull it off. And yeah, just a key contributor. And yeah, all around with Tyron, everybody was quick to write him off year one in New Orleans. And we saw him, I guess, gradually get more acclimated to the defense and more comfortable with the scheme. That's why he was able. That was mainly the reason for his slow start when he did come to New Orleans.
Yeah, he'd tell you that himself, is that he was learning. It was a new system for him. He was learning, and he wasn't quite as comfortable in it as he is now, and he feels a lot better in it now. You know, Tyron, it's interesting too. We talk about the health and the durability. Like, that wasn't always the case. Like, he talked about, he missed, I think it was 15 games over his first four seasons, something like that, in Arizona, right? So he hasn't always been this durable, always available guy. So it's something that he's worked at, and you know, it's working out for him. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate DeMario, because DeMario is, I think, the oldest player on the roster, and he's the only player on the roster that's older than me. I'm like the same age as Cam. It's weird. I think Cam is like 2 months older than me. I think he was technically an 89 baby. I'm a 90s baby. I turned 34 today. Cam's 34. But DeMario's 35. So DeMario still gives me hope. If I get my shit together, maybe I have a year left to play. No, that's, what am I talking about?
I would hope for that same health, bill of health that both of those guys have had, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I can barely, you know, I throw my back out every couple of months. I'm just like doing nothing, just like, you know,
sleep wrong or something. Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. There's a certain age where you start injuring yourself while you're asleep. And it makes you you start looking at the bed, like, what happened? What was I doing in there? Like, I was just like, okay. Anyway, I have to sit on a pillow because my back hurts. Anyway, I do not have the same recovery as DeMario Davis. That is that's a given.
We'll see if WWL, we get a cupping machine at the studio we could use.
I think I'd be afraid of it. Those things are intense.
Especially who's operating it.
Yeah, every time I see the bruises from them, I'm just like, Jesus, what's happening?
Right,
it's like
how's
giant
that helping?
Hickeys on your back. Yeah, I don't know. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're going to come back. We're going to play our interview with Scott Shanley, talk a little about what he had to say. We talked about DeMario, Tyron, Jordan Howden, guys like that. Let's talk about Clint Kubiak's offense. We'll get into it. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. Hit us up on Twitter at Jeff Nowak, at Steve Geller, WWL. The show is at Saints_pod. And we'll be right back.